Welcome to the Topeka First Assembly podcast. We hope this message serves as an encouragement to you. If you would like to support us financially, you can do so online at www.topekafirst.com/giving. Enjoy the podcast.
Well, hey, we're going to continue on this morning and talk a little bit about trust and relationships. And we're going to dive into this. We need to be more focused on building relationships in the body of Christ. It's really important for us. And family is always important, right? But the body of Christ is also a new family for us who follow Jesus. And that new family is important. And I mentioned last week, you are made to connect to others. God made you that way. Now, you know, there's all kinds of different people, right? We all have different personality types. Some of us are extroverts. Some of us are introverts. Some of us are in between. You know, you have all the different kinds. So sometimes you'll have those that are just, they just don't want to be around people all the time. But the fact is you still need people. And because we all need each other, and it is seldom fun doing anything just by ourselves, right? Usually we like to have some others along for the ride, so to speak, and enjoy one another. But to have a fulfilled life, you need to find your place among those who serve Christ. And as I said, family is important. We realize that, yet having friendships which you learn to build with others can even be more fulfilling and strengthening. And listen to what the Bible says in Proverbs in the New Living Translation. I like the way it says it in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 10. Should be on the screen for you, and it says this: never abandon a friend, either yours or your father's. Interesting. And when disaster strikes, you won't have to ask your brother for assistance. It's better to go to a neighbor than to a brother who lives far away. I like that. I think that's interesting and really kind of challenging to us, right, as well. When Jody and I moved back to Kansas back in 2012, we had been in California serving in ministry there. And once we came back, my dad and I drove back those not a U-Haul, but a budget truck, two trucks full of our junk, right? And we're driving back to Kansas. It takes us 3 days. We start out in the desert. It was like, it was hot. We climbed the mountain up in the high desert, and it was like 112 degrees. We couldn't figure out why the temperature on the trucks was running like 236. And we thought that may be a little warm, and it didn't blow anything, so we kept going. And we drove for 3 days like that, and we made it back to Kansas, right? Oh, the fun it was. And we got here, and that was the year we had a drought here. So it was hot here, too. We couldn't get out of it. And we were tired, but we had to also offload both of these trucks. And, who showed up to help us? Well, that was the other question. There were some people that come to help us, but who was it? But two of the guys that came to help us was two guys named Bill and John, and they were two of my dad's friends, and they had been friends of the family for decades. And it was great. It was really a great surprise for us when they showed up to help us move. And the cool thing between, they were both retired at this time, and so between the two of those guys with four legs, they at least had two good legs. And so that's kind of the way it is, sometimes. And so between the two of them, they helped us, and let me say that I was more than grateful to have them to help us at that time, and remember that. It's stuck in my mind for good. So just as Proverbs tells us in Proverbs 27:10, he says, never abandon a friend, either yours or your father's. It's kind of funny, but when he goes on to say it's better to go to a neighbor than a brother who lives far away, but there's something about friendship. Friendship is a strong part of our lives that can be healthy. It doesn't mean a brother or a family member won't care. That's not what the writer is saying here in Proverbs. He's not saying that at all, but it's just that the bond of friendship can run deep, right? It can run deep into our lives, and it's just an important bond. So friendship is built over time. It's not simply an accident, is it? It's not an accident. And relationships must become an essential part of your lives. We need each other. And as the writer says in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 in the New Living Translation, he says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens a friend. Now, have you had one of those friends that like they got pulled the grinder out and started grinding on? Yeah. Well, hopefully they're a good friend, right? We do sharpen one another, and we do challenge one another, encourage one another. You know, in the early church, we find some realities about church life. And one of the things is that church life in the beginning was a very powerful time. And it was also a very messy time. The church is growing. God is doing some great things. And it's really not unlike the church today. And the reason for the power was their unity when they focused on Christ and let Him do His work in their lives. And that was one of the reasons why we saw that. But the reason for their messiness was their occasional disunity and when they focused on self and their own friends, leaving others out. And so we kind of see this early on in the early church, and you say, oh, surely, no, it couldn't have been that way back then. Well, we're going to read the Scripture. And we'll see what the Scripture says to us. And early on, we find this picture in the book of Acts, and in Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, we'll read it here. And to listen to what Luke, the doctor here, writes, and he says this, talking about the early church, he says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship. They're hanging out together, right? To the breaking of bread and to prayer. So they're spending their time together. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. And all the believers were together. Here's another one of those things, together. And they had everything in common, right? They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They didn't even have their own facility yet, right? They didn't have anything like that. And they broke bread in their homes. And they ate together. They did must have done a lot of eating, right? That must be why we do that now, this day and age. And with glad and sincere hearts, and praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people, and the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. So God was working there. The Holy Spirit was working there among God's people. He was working in their lives. They were keeping their hearts open to what God had for them, and He was working. But this was not a social experiment, guys. It wasn't a social experiment of some kind of socialism or communalism. That's not what it was. Jesus, the Messiah, had arrived, and He had ushered in the kingdom of God among His people. And it wasn't completely finished yet, though, right? It wasn't consummated, as we would say. They didn't totally, the kingdom wasn't finished. But people's lives were being changed through what Christ had done for them on the cross. They had forgiveness. They had new hope. They had life again. Something special had been done for them. And I wrote a phrase here to kind of describe the early church. And this is kind of how I would say it. They were spiritually and relationally connected. They were spiritually and relationally connected. And it was not only friendship and it was not only a spiritual connection. It included both. And the church today must also include this. We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives and the power of relationships. Both of those are important because we need this balance in our lives. Amen. And so we need this balance, isn't it true? If we don't have that balance, we're missing out on things. You know, we've seen groups of people call themselves a church. And they miss the spiritual components, right? Maybe they ignore the Word of God or they ignore prayer and worship. So they miss that. But they have friendships, right? So we could just call that a club, right, at that point. And we've also seen groups call themselves a church when they have the spiritual component, but they miss out on relationships. And that's easy to happen. Both of those are easy to happen. And we need to be careful and balance them both in our lives. And let's look together here at what at relationships here in a different way. And I'm going to come to this in a different manner than maybe what I do at times. But I've got three things for you. This first one is really long. Don't worry about it. You don't have to write it all down. I just want to get you, I want you to get the understanding of what's happening here. The first thing is this. Once a new group of people settle into life, this new group, they tend to settle into their affinity or their friend groups, right? So you get a new group together, they're building relationships, they're engaging one another, and so they build this new group, and then they tend to settle into those affinity groups, those that they really connect with, right? And there's nothing wrong with maybe the car guys or the geeks or the photographers or whatever. Those can be healthy connections that we have, yet little fractures can happen. Little fractures can happen, and you know what happens when you find a fracture in steel? It's an interesting thing. Maybe you're not around it, but when I think of it, when I find a fracture in steel or some kind of metal, usually what you have to do is you'll see the fracture, you'll see the crack. It may even be below the surface, and there's a procedure for finding that. But you see that crack, and you have to do due diligence to make sure you find the very end of the crack. And then what you do is you take a drill and you drill a hole right through the very end of it, and it stops it from cracking that way. Then you find the other end of the crack. If you don't find the other end of the crack, if you try to repair it, it doesn't matter. It's going to keep cracking. So you got to find the other end, and then you got to drill a hole right through that, and it will stop it from cracking. And then you come in through with a welder, and you weld from one hole you grind out all of that little crack. And then you take a welder and you fuse it together. You fuse it together from one end to the other. It becomes one again. What do we call that? We call that one piece. Before it was two pieces, and now it's one piece. We call that unity. Right? It's unity. And so you weld those things, or you fuse them together to become one again. That fusion, it kind of reforms it. It puts it back together. You know, people have always had a difficult time breaking out of their tight circles of friends to welcome others, to fellowship with them. It's always been a challenge. You see that. It's why? Because we have those affinity groups. We have those people that we're kind of like, and we have a lot of similarities. And so then we can hang out together. But for some, the difficulty is stepping out to form new relationships. It may be because of a lack of experience of engaging others. It may be an issue of trust, right? Because we're talking about trust in relationships, and that can be an issue as well. And it can be also an issue of fear. Maybe they have a fear about engaging others and trying to relate to them. But friend groups can be a powerful alliance, which can be a wonderful thing. And the problem arises when people become exclusive. When we become exclusive, it causes us some real problems. We don't think it causes us problems, but it does cause us problems individually, collectively, and it can cause others problems on the outside. And when they become exclusive, these same friend groups can be the cause of pain then. And when you become a welcoming person, you may impact the life of someone else for good. You got to remember that. You can have an impact in someone else's life because of how engaging you are and help them and bring them in to be able to fellowship with you. That can have a wonderful impact in other people's lives. See, we need to look at some Bible passages which give us a glimpse of when relationships break down. And it happened early in the book of Acts with some of the widows who weren't getting the help they needed because of some of the racial tension that was taking place there. And so the apostles had to work to make it fair and equitable. Look with me over in Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6, verse 1, should be on the screen, and it says this for you. It says, "But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent." Now, this is in the New Living Translation, the way it says it here. It says the Greek-speaking believers, which would have been the Hellenists, as some translations say, believers, they complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So they kind of had a process to try to help those who were in need, especially widows. I think the scripture talks about being over 60 and all this information. And so they tried to be able to give them an opportunity to have something, because they didn't have a social security system. That was it, right? They were it. Each of them, they helped with that. But they had some problems. And this was before the Apostle Paul was even saved. This crept up early, right? It creeps up early in the church. And so the apostles had to install people into positions who were able to even things out. They were there to be able to assist them and to guide them. And basically, they were there to run the feeding program. And so that's what they did. And that's what they did. And they ran this. And they knew God. But there were some problems here. We have to ask this question: why in the world did this happen? This was the church. Why did it happen? People. People get you every time, right? But people are important. And God loves people. And Jesus gave his life on the cross for people. Each and every one of us need other people. Yeah, it can be messy at times. It doesn't mean that they weren't saved. It doesn't mean that they weren't born again, born of God. They knew God, but they still had some things that they had to learn about their relationships, and they needed to change their views about other people. They needed to learn to accept other friend groups and other races. And in fact, we find with the Apostle Paul, who later comes to faith, and after he has dealt with a lot of people in the body of Christ, and after he's planted churches and all that kind of stuff, we know that he says this over in the book of Galatians. He's writing to the Galatians. It's an epistle. That's a letter. And he writes to them, and he says this in Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. He says, "There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Jesus Christ," or in Christ Jesus. Now, don't misunderstand. He is not saying that these groups do not exist, correct? Because some may look at that and say, "Well, that says this." Well, no, he's not saying that these groups don't exist. But it's like Paul is saying, it doesn't matter who you are, we are equal, so don't get up all up on your high horse thinking that you're better than someone else because of X, Y, and Z. And as long as we're on this earth, we will have some different views about some things which sometimes don't really even matter. And we need to search to find our similarities, not our differences. And now we find this problem in one of the churches that Paul has started. They had all kinds of issues. It's one of the reasons why we have some of the scripture today that we have, right? It's interesting. Because of issues, that's why we have it. But the Lord used that so we can learn and we can grow from it. And we need this. So we see here, we need to search to find out our similarities and not our differences. So turn with me over to 1 Corinthians. We're going to look where the Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians, and it's chapter 1, verse 10. We'll start there. And look at what the Apostle Paul writes. So he gets saved by this time. He's been preaching the gospel, starting new churches, sharing the gospel in a lot of different places. And Corinth, it's a ways away, right? Not far from Greece, or maybe it's right in that area. So, And he says, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's house have informed me that there are quarrels among you." But you know what he didn't say? "You got a snitch in your midst. He didn't say that. But evidently Chloe said, "Hey, there's some problems here, the Apostle Paul, and we need your help. And so he gets back with them. And then he says in verse 12 these words. He says, what I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. And another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. That's Peter, right? And still another, I follow Christ. I'm even better than all of you. See, they were split in their leadership preferences is what it come down to. They were split in all of that kind of stuff, and it affected them to some level, and I think that's probably why Chloe's house said, hey, we need to do something, Paul. This isn't good. So let's look at the second part of this, and the second part is this. Friend groups became exclusive. Friend groups became exclusive. Friend groups are important. Affinity groups are important, if you will. But because they can give us a sense of belonging in the body of Christ, and the issue arises when our affinity groups become exclusive. And sure, there are times in leadership when people are growing in their leadership that not everybody is invited to do a particular thing. We understand that. We even see that in Jesus' ministry with him and the 12. There was a time where when Jesus went up onto the Mount of Transfiguration, he brought Peter, James, and John. But what about the rest of the guys? He left them there for whatever reason. Jesus had a reason and a purpose for doing that. And so Peter, James, and John, he was pouring his life into them in a different way. It doesn't mean that he didn't care for the others, because he did. He called every one of them. He called them all. So not everybody was involved there, but in the body of Christ, when we aren't careful, we can use this exception as the rule. So don't use this exception as the norm for you and your relationships in the body of Christ. Don't look back to what Paul, let's look back at what Paul writes to the Corinthian church who had a problem with choosing one leader over the other and all that stuff. They built their friendship groups by following this preacher or that preacher, and Paul calls them on the carpet, right? He says, come on, guys. And you know, we've all been guilty of this in one form or the fashion. We all have. And for us to say, oh, no, that's not been me, you may not be looking in the mirror well enough. And so it's probably been all of us. And so look at what he says in chapter 1 of 1 Corinthians in verse 13. He asks him, he's pretty direct here. He said, is Christ divided? What, was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anybody else. I have no idea. If you did, you'll have to tell me. I can't remember. But that's kind of what's happening here. And what's Paul saying? He's saying something very specific while he is asking them a question. I am not your Savior. And then he's going on to say, Peter is not your Savior. Apollos is not your Savior. Only Jesus is your Savior. But some even claim to only follow Jesus, so they likely wouldn't listen to others like Peter and Paul, etc. And so they're in trouble too. They think, "Woo, we're holier than thou, and we follow Jesus alone. Everybody else, you're out." That's not right either, right? It's just not. But having trust in relationships is vital in a healthy church. Having trust, and that's something that is built. Doesn't happen in 10 minutes. We need to look over to the book of Acts to find a little bit more about this guy named Apollos, which Paul wrote about, right? So he's one of the guys that they were talking about here. So in Acts chapter 18, verse 24, it says this. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the Scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke with great fervor. and taught about Jesus accurately. Then they go on from there. Because Apollos was well-educated, he seems to be a vibrant preacher, and some people must have really loved him. And so he came from Alexandria, Egypt, so that says something about him. So it says something to us today, but this was a major education city. It was the largest library was held there in the world, like 50,000 documents there. That's massive back in the day, right before the internet. And so it's like he came from one of the top universities, but he was loved among the people, it seems like. And for some people at the church in Corinth, it must have been alluring to them because they're allured by a lot of things in Corinth. That's why we get so much about them in 1st and 2nd Corinthians. Otherwise, it probably would have just been one book and be done. We know there's probably about four letters to them. But what we have is these two. And so we see this here, and they seem to be so easily enamored by the glitz and the glamour. Apollos must have been a really good speaker, so his friend group may have not liked Peter as much because he seemed to be less refined, right? He seemed to be the shoot from the hip guy. I mean, the Spirit of God worked through his life, but he was more of your traditional Joe Blow fisherman guy. And so their preferences caused them to push others, maybe Peter and Paul, out of their group. And we find that Paul had some problems with the Corinthians and some because they were like, well, we don't necessarily like you. And he had to kind of be stern with them to correct them later on. So they kind of looked down on them with the pride. And Paul wrote to them about not being puffed up in 1 Corinthians verse 4, or chapter 4, verse 6. See, he was primarily relating to them following these teachers, but the reality is we can be this way in our friend groups if we aren't mindful of how we respond to others. That's a tough one, isn't it? Sometimes we don't know how we respond to others. Sometimes I don't always know how I respond to others, and I've got to pay attention and notice how I do, and if I don't catch it, maybe my wife will catch it for me. And so it is important, though, how we respond to one another and interact with each other. And so they've got some challenges there. So these guys like the glitz and the glamour. But look at something else here that we find. Talking about this Apollos guy, he's pretty cool, it seems like. But in Acts chapter 18, verse 26, it goes on to say this about him. It says, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home. Hey, here goes relationship again, right? And they explained to him the way of God more adequately. Quite interesting. What's the deal? They corrected him. They helped him. In fact, the deal was he must have been a persuasive speaker. But we know that even Apollos needed a little bit more discipleship himself. Because at that point, what we know from Scripture there is that all he knew at that point was the baptism of John. So he had to know a little bit more, and he had to learn from others. What does it say? We're all on a track. We're all growing. We're all learning, right? And we're not done. And God is not done with us. He is still working in our lives. And with that in mind, we recognize that he is still working in the lives of other people as well. So this couple, they take a Priscilla and Aquila, they take him into their home and talk with him. I don't know if the Corinthians actually meant harm by pushing some of the people away, but one way or the other, they needed to learn to accept others different than themselves. That's important for each of us. We have to be able to accept others, even though they may be different than us. And they needed to be careful not to ignore those who didn't meet their style criteria. Because, you know, we all have different styles, right? Each and every one of us. We have different styles that we like. And And so I'm a Gen Xer, so sorry to say that. But anyway, so that's the reality. So because I'm a Gen Xer, if you know that generation, we're eclectic in some sense. So we like a lot of different things. I like a lot of different styles and all those kind of things. But not everybody's that way, right? And sometimes we grow even more when we let God use others who aren't the same as us. And now it doesn't mean it's wrong to have friends like us. That is something we have to remember, too. It's good to have friendship like us, other friends like us that are similar to us. It's important. It's healthy. But it simply means we need to welcome others into our lives as well. Could you imagine what it would be like if you're going to learn to cut hair? So, you're learning to cut hair, you decided to sign up for this school to learn the how-to, right? You're going to figure out how to do this. And the first day of class, you arrive before time to start, and the instructor calls off everybody's name, everybody's there, you're there, you know it's time to get rolling. But as you look at that teacher, as you look at them and you see their hairstyle and you are thinking, I'm going to learn from this dude, and his hairstyle is just way out there, it's no good. You're just like, there is no way that I can learn from somebody like this, and he's got some odd mannerisms, and I don't like him. There's no way I'm going to learn from him. But then you're almost ready to drop the class. You're saying, I'm out of here. You're almost ready to drop the class. And then some of the other students say, do you realize who he's taught? Do you know some of the great hairstylists and a cutter persons? I don't know what you call them. Do you know some of those people that he's taught, some of the best in the nation? And then it makes you step back. Well, okay, well, he's a little different, but maybe he does have something for me to learn. So they start listening, and they start growing because of that. Even though their style's a little bit different, they start growing. And sometimes we can grow so much when we're willing to learn from those who are a little different than us. We can learn from them, and I think it's healthy for us. And building relationships with people who are a little different can be healthy. And what we have to do is make sure that we're not hanging out with those that are anti-God. You know, it doesn't mean that we don't stay connected with them to try to share Christ with them and engage them. I understand there's a balance there, and that's important. We don't want them pulling us back, but we also want to be a witness of Christ into our community. But in our relationships, you know, we're all a little different. I like to say about the church at times that the church is a motley crew. We're just a whole bunch of different people coming together under the name of Jesus. Because we have found that Jesus has come to give us new life, and he's offered us something that no one else can give to us, which is the forgiveness of sins and eternal hope in Christ, that we can be together with our Heavenly Father. That's more important than anything. We have to be willing to learn from others, and we have to be willing to reach out and stretch out our hands. I was excited this morning as you greeted one another, that you connected with one another, and maybe not to the level of you needed to, but you did somewhat. And that's why we have, you know, there's times before service, a little bit in the middle of service sometimes, and sometimes after, but not just that. There's also small groups that we have on Wednesday nights. We have those, and so it's important to engage one another so that we can be built up and strengthened, one in our faith, but strengthened also in our relationships as we stay connected to one another. So as we wrap this up this morning, what kind of person are you willing to become? What kind of person are you willing to become? And we have to ask ourselves that. You know, I may have missed number three. Did I miss number three for you? I think I did. Let me go back there, because I think I ignored it by accident. When friend groups divide, it isn't always intentional, and it may be subconscious. Just for you to take note of that, sometimes friend groups divide, they separate, and they don't hang out together anymore, and sometimes it's a subconscious thing. Now for some, it is intentional. It's a different kind of problem. It's more selfish and self-focused. But having trust in relationships is vital in a healthy church. And those that are important, but I don't want you to miss that. Sometimes it does happen, and it's one of those things we just kind of miss. But what kind of person are you willing to become? Make sure that you're a person who will never abandon a friend, as Proverbs says. Once you settle into new friendships, don't push others out, but welcome them in. I know that we don't always see eye to eye on every issue as individuals, especially in our society. Our society is so individualistic, and it can be a challenge. And so, but we have to learn to be able to recognize those things that we agree on, and know that we know the Lord and the Lord cares for us. See, once you settle into those new friendships, welcome others. Make sure you don't become exclusive, but become inclusive. Don't let your likes and your dislikes keep you from growing and building new friendships with others. Remember that trust may have been broken at one point in your life, but it can be rebuilt. Trust can be rebuilt. You have to work at it, right? That's just the way it is. Trust can be rebuilt. But also, trust can also continue when you're persistent. Persistence is part of it, isn't it? Relationships, for a relationships to work, it has to be a persistent thing. It has to be something that we work at on a regular basis and continue to stay connected to one another. And so, I want to challenge you this morning as we wrap this up. Stay aware of how you connect to others. Stay aware. Stay aware how you connect to others, because you are made to connect with others. Lord, we realize that we need you. And we need you for this point of salvation. We need you so that we can have eternal life. We understand that without you, we don't have that. But through Jesus and what you've done on the cross, we have this hope of being born of God's Spirit. We have this hope of being in the kingdom of God. And Father, that's a wonderful thing. But also, we have hope as the body of Christ of staying connected to one another, because we need each other. We ask you, Lord, to help us this day, Lord, to recognize our need for each other. Help us, Lord, to become good friends with one another. Father, we know that it really starts with us. It starts with me. It starts with each one of these. Lord, to be able to choose to be a good friend. To be able to choose to reach out with care and love. And I pray that you would help us. Father God, whether a person is an extrovert or an introvert, really that doesn't matter. And that should not limit what you ask us to do. And it does not limit. You've called us to reach out and to love one another. Father, we pray this morning that you would help us to become the kind of people that the world will look and say, wait a second, something has happened here. This is different. God is working. We see it because of their love for one another. Father, may you continue to work in us. And Father God, may it start with me. May it start with us. May we not put it off to our neighbor. May we not put it off to a spouse or a friend. But may it start with us. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.